Gentlemen, I'm going to ask Mr. Martins to come forward and give a brief view of the economic development element of the comprehensive plan.
Good evening. My name is Tom Martins. I'm with ERA AECOM, formerly known as Economics Research Associates. We conducted both the market analysis and also the fiscal and economic impact analysis. And again, just to point out again that demand number that we have in there is over a 10-year period. So it's looking at projected growth over a 10-year period, the additional supportable retail space. The source for that was ESRI, which is a standard ESRI, a standard demographic data provider that most companies, private companies in market research utilize, either ESRI or Claritas. So it's pretty reliable projections. They're updated every year. So this is with a brand new, you know, less than a year old data package from them. So, and then if you look in there, you can see our capture rates that we used, I think, are very conservative. They basically start out as fair share. What do we think we could get based on our proposed square footage compared to the existing and other proposed square footage in our trade area? And then make modifications based on our visibility or access or our ability to draw based on having special retail qualities that might more readily attract people to come to the site. And then from those captured spending that we developed, then we translate that into supportable square footage. And that's based on typical sales volumes that you would have in different kinds of stores based on Urban Land Institute's published data that's a fairly reliable industry source for how many dollars need to be spent in a store per square foot for to operate profitably. And so that got us to our supportable square footage. And again, that's we have it over the next 5 years, and then what it would be over another 5 years after that. So we're looking at somewhere between 260 and 320. We had a high and a low capture rates to get that range in there over the next 5 years. And then by 2018, looking at somewhere between 350 and 410. But we don't think that this really have a negative impact on downtown because it's a different kind of retail, particularly the majority of the square footage is someplace where you go to do destination comparison shopping to buy, you know, household goods, back to school, that sort of thing. Whereas the downtown is really, it's more of an experience. A lot of it's sort of leisure based with dining and sort of pleasure shopping as opposed to day-to-day goods shopping. And in essence, we could actually bring more people because of our proximity. So we're pulling people off of one, bringing them closer to the village than they would normally go for their shopping purchases. So then it's just a quick little hop over to do some additional spending in the village. That's for the market analysis. Next is the economic and fiscal impact analysis. We looked at both one-time impacts, which is impacts from construction. We call them one-time impacts, but again, they're actually spread over the life of the build-out. And then we have ongoing impacts, which is at build-out, impacts that you're going to see in each year. For the construction impacts, that really we looked at, you know, we developed our own construction costs based on using Marshall and Swift, which is a typical construction cost data source. Applied that to the square footages, got our total spending, and then we used what's called InPlan software. It's the Minnesota InPlan Group. It's one of two widely recognized sources for multipliers, the other being the Bureau of Economic Analysis. Those are probably the two sources that almost any economic impact analysis across the country would use. BEA just happens to still be part of the government. InPlan branched off from Interior and became a private company about 20 years ago. So we fed the construction impacts in construction costs, and that basically spit out of the software what the construction employment is, both the direct on-site and then what gets recycled through the economy. So the indirect being then, so all those companies that are being employed or the spending that's happening on-site, there are direct impacts from other companies in the state of Delaware. We purchased the Delaware data, but most of them would be local. Since, you know, in this location. And then the indirect is again, that's the other spending in the area, and then as that gets spent again in the market, and also the spending of the earnings of the employees, that gets your induced employment. So we ended up with construction impacts. About 500 employees from the construction. That's the direct, indirect, and induced. And on the ongoing impacts, what we did is use typical square footage amounts per employee that you would have. For office space, generally, you've got about 250 square feet per employee. And for retail, generally looking at 400 to 600, 400 for the inline stores, 600 for the larger retailers. Since we had sort of an idea of what the anchor and junior anchor tenants might be like, we actually investigated, did those separately to find out what typical stores have, how many employees they have per store, and put that in instead for the two larger store formats to get our direct employment and then fed that through in plan to get the indirect and induced to get the total. So our 700 approximate employees on site in the shops would actually result in about 900 employees total statewide.
Richard.
I think that's about it.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we have heard from the witnesses that will be presented by the applicant at this point in time. I would like to move into the record, if I have not already done so, the exhibit book. The reason for doing so is that that exhibit book does contain much of the detail that supports the conclusory language that these gentlemen have articulated to you this evening. I said this at the first hearing, and I think I should, it bears repeating again. It is naive for anyone to believe that this property will never be developed. It is, as Mr. Key has characterized it, property that has become an orphaned farm. If we were to fly this site with spray or insects, we would hear a lot of phones ring because of the noise, the nuisance that goes with or that are attendant with farming. What we have tried to demonstrate to you this evening, and admittedly it's been stirring testimony, and I'm sure that everybody will want to get up and stretch here in a minute, is that the comp plan has been complied with, and in particular the text when it goes to table 8 and with the requirements of the map. The idea that there will be a green belt around Lewis, which will be articulated a little later on and has been articulated in some of the material we've read, is just inconsistent with what livable Delaware told us the state planning strategy would be. And that is that municipalities would become the focal point of development. And that is the situation which has developed here. Admittedly, the nice folks that live in the city of Lewis or own property there are not happy with that. But that is the strategy that has been visited upon all of us. We have worked with DLDOT to create a mitigation plan and remediation, which will ameliorate some of the traffic situations. We have received their response that they have no objection to this project. Similarly, we have received the same response from the Office of State Planning Coordination. You've heard Mr. Martins testify to the economic benefits that Sussex County will receive either from the construction or from the long and term employment that is associated with this project. In the end, the decision that you must make when you make a recommendation to the Planning Commission is to be based upon the evidence and the record that's made before you this evening. That record, as Mr. Robertson will no doubt explain to you at some point in time over the next few weeks, does not mean that just mere anecdotal testimony or generalized concerns are evidence. They are expressions, but they are not the evidence that supports or provides substantial evidence on the record to deny this particular application. In fact, even though there are 54 letters or petitions or what have you that have been submitted, they are not necessarily evidence of any kind that supports or denies this application. In effect, this is not a popularity contest. Your job is to apply the county zoning laws, the comprehensive plan, and determine whether or not the criterion have been met by the applicants. In this state, land use laws are to be construed liberally in favor of the landowner's use of their own land. And we are asking you to again consider that here. Vice Chancellor Strawn decided a case called Gibson versus Sussex County a few years ago, in which he chastised the county council, and I'm going to paraphrase this for you, but it's a lesson that needs to be remembered on an occasion. And that is that when a governing body of this county or the planning commission making a recommendation makes a land use decision, it is not free to simply bend to the prevailing breeze, but it must rationally and fairly apply its own zoning code and its regulations. That means if you look at your code, your zoning regulations, it's not about MOUs between the city of Lewis and the county. It's not about future scan. It's not about ill-defined areas of concern that run from Oyster Rock Road halfway to Rehoboth Beach. It's not about popularity polls or traffic reports that didn't study Kings Highway. It's not about their downtown development plans or any scenic byway status. It is about the application of the county's comp plan and zoning code regulations. Gentlemen, that would conclude our presentation on behalf of the applicants. Myself and the members of the team will be available to answer any questions you may have.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, given the extensive opposition to this change in zone requests, including the presence of at least one attorney to present some of the opposition's positions, I respectfully request to hold my comments and questions as best as I can until after the conclusion of the public's testimony. At any given point, especially at the conclusion of the public's testimony, I reserve the right, upon recognition of the chairman, to ask questions and seek clarification of any matters of concern not adequately addressed and or to make some comments.
Well, Mr. Johnson, on behalf of everyone in the room, I'm going to thank you for adding an extra dimension of suspense to this to this public hearing. It will be interesting to see, just
if
you're able to contain yourself. All right, sir. Very well. The chair will certainly permit that. And Mr. Burton.
I kind of like following.
Curves. Well, you can all say the same thing and we can move right on to the next phase if you want.
I'd like to do that.
All right. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The wellhead protection.
Yes.
Mr. Key or Mr. Willie?
Mr. Willie.
Mr. Willie. That's an area of concern in which this parcel falls under a mapped area, is that correct? Either in a wellhead protection area or an excellent recharge area?
In the data book, there is, in fact, the water supply wellhead and excellent recharge area exhibit from the county comprehensive plan. And the southernmost portion of this site is down particularly along the conservation area. But the southernmost portion of the site is identified as a wellhead protection area.
That would appear in tab 3, Mr. Smith.
Yes. So there is to answer your question, simply there is a portion of the site which is, in fact, in the wellhead area.
Okay. And that's covered in tab 3?
Yes, that's tab 3. It's about the 6th, 7th mapping.
Something you said, Mr. Willie, that may be helpful to those members of the public that are here. I believe that you said you would use some type of under parking lot stormwater infiltration. Is that correct?
Yes, we have.
And for the members of the public, if I were to say that that's similar to uses in some of the other shopping centers, the Tanger outlets, would that be correct?
That would be correct, and also the quality treatment aspect would be very similar to the Harris Teeter project at Bayside. That uses underground storage with a StormTech sand filter to protect the receiving water.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Other than that, Mr. Chairman, I believe I understand the applicant.
Okay, sir.
And the application.
All right, sir. Mr. Ross.
Just a couple questions. Mr. Key, how many acres are in that ag land preservation district across the street?
I actually don't know.
And are they permanently preserved, or is it just a district?
I'm not sure of the status of it.
Seems to be some feeling that there's 66 acres there. I don't know why that comes to mind, but telepathic from somebody in the audience.
I think that sounds about right, Mr. Chairman.
I think that telepathic person probably knows what he's talking about. So
I'm sure that person will probably speak.
We'll hear from them.
I guess there's been some written comments submitted prior to the hearing about the ambulance traffic. And in your exhibit book, I think this is maybe for Mr. Kennedy, in the exhibit book it shows the ambulance traffic route as not as using Savannah Road, a different road, doesn't go by the proposed area. Do ambulances use that route as a common entrance to the highway from Route 1, or do they not and use Westcott Road onto Savannah Road?
I'm sure they do use, you know, Kings Highway at times. I don't know.
Your traffic pattern is under Exhibit 4, I guess next to the last margin marker from the back. This will help you, Mr. Kennedy. Sure. You can have my copy.
Yeah. Although I just found it, Mr. Ross.
Thank you, Dennis.
The same thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the marker I couldn't tell you if.
So, your professional opinion, then I guess you have some documentation. I don't know if there's an emergency route preferred, you know, something that directs ambulance drivers to take the route you've depicted, other than taking Kings Highway, or not, because the public questions here are indicating that Kings Highway is highly used by ambulances going into and from BB Hospital. Your route doesn't show that. It shows using Savannah Road.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, that, you know, obviously ambulances aren't prohibited from using Kings Highway, and I'm sure they do. You know, the concern about the impact of ambulance routes, we are making improvements. We're lowering the level of service. We're lowering delay. We're adding capacity to those intersections. So
that's not the question. I just want to make sure that perhaps your route is selective, and maybe ambulances use both routes, and maybe the public comments, written concerns are shared or not.
Well, there's not a date on this figure, unfortunately, but at the time, I'm sure that was what we received as the marked route for those fire companies.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ross, let me supplement Mr. Kennedy's answer. This exhibit was prepared in connection with the first hearing on this application 18 months or so ago, and it was designed to depict where the Rehoboth Fire Company, Millville, Bethany, Roxanna, Selbyville Fire Companies, which would be to the immediate south and or east of Lewis, would respond. This does not depict all potential emergencies, nor does it depict any other actions that would be Georgetown, Milton, Angola, or whatnot. And as Mr. Kennedy has articulated, ambulances and fire trucks go where they want to go. But this was determined at the time of the prior hearing to be the preferred route, but not necessarily the exclusive route into the hospital.
Thank you. Can I have my copy back? That's all, Mr. Chairman.
That it? Okay. Mr. Lang?
No questions this time.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions at this point. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I noticed that I think we've had a few folks leave for one reason or another already, so we normally take a count at the end. I would like to take a count now of people for and against so that anyone who is concerned about being on the record can get on the record by simply raising your hand. You will be counted. And then if you have child care responsibilities or some other reason why you have to leave, you at least will have been counted. So to the folks who are not in the council chambers, please stay where you are. Stand still. Someone will be out there to count your hands and only raise one hand, if you would, please. Okay, so first, there are folks here in favor. So all those who are in favor of the opposition of the application. Oh, it's a long night. Those in favor of the application, please raise your hands at this time. And Mr. Lank has gone out into the other rooms to count.
I can't tell. Is there anybody behind the screen over here?
Okay.
Wait till
Lawrence comes back. Yeah.
Gentleman on the right there, at 17.
Four outside.
Okay. All right. Those who are here in opposition to the application.
That was my four.
The opposition, you had four in opposition?
All there is outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
How many people are behind the screen? Okay. All right. Now there's 20 back there, right? No, I'm just kidding. Thanks.
I know. Thank you for bearing with our attorney. Of course, he's a lawyer, not a mathematician.
You think it's bad on you folks? He had to take his shoes off to do that, and it's
right.
Not good. So.
That's right. Is that it? We got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
The four I had were in opposition. They were outside.
Okay.
The four that you had were in opposition?
There's apparently there are only four folks
outside.
They were outside. Well, that's good. We're all here together. I think that's nice. Okay.
Thanks.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor